Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here in about 8 minutes. We will get to something that I don't think either of us were aware of. And then I saw a few people interacting with you yesterday, Drew, on X, and involving a national media personality. That I don't think we've had on the show once, but you're blocked by somebody, and I need the background on how on earth you got blocked and what did you do? It was an individual. All I'll say was an individual that was tweeting stuff that was defending Mahomes against Cincinnati fans hating on him, and then you're blocked. So I don't know what you did. We're gonna get to that.
He just started looking for Cincy fans to block.
I don't know. We're gonna get to that.
I don't know what it was
in just a little bit. Also, don't forget next month we're gonna be out in Las Vegas for the Chiefs and Raiders weekend as they get set for that game on Sunday afternoon. And we'll be out Circa Las Vegas. It is the place to be in Vegas. CircaLasVegas.com. We'll have a Friday night party at their Overhang Bar, which is inside the property there. Drink specials, chance to win a pair of tickets to the game. But if you're looking for a fun weekend out in Vegas, Circa is the place to be. And that particular weekend, we'll be doing our shows Thursday and Friday, outdoors, stadium swim, 6 different pools. You'll get to see Cody jump in a pool on video stream. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be a great time.
Can you do, like, this doesn't seem like the kind of pool where anyone wants to see you do, like, a cannonball.
No, huh? It's not a cannonball pool.
It's more just like a stand-in pool. So I can't, no jackknife?
I don't think so. Although,
what about a backflip?
Look, the cabanas are at where we're at. There's 6 pools. We're on the 2 upper pools. Maybe those won't be as busy as the ones further down. Maybe that one you can warn people ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know,
just like a backflip or something. Mm-hmm. That's all.
But it's going to be a great time that entire weekend. Hope to see you guys out there if you're already planning going on out there. And I'm pumped weather-wise, too, because we know it's going to be, like, still 80 there, and it's going to probably be, like, 50 here.
Drew, as caught by the text line.
Well, I was going to
apologize. That an intentional P. Diddy?
Oh.
Bumper music there? That man just got arrested for all kinds of awfulness.
Again, I have before played...
True.
Ignition.
I didn't notice.
I before played Ignition on this show, and I have, I learned from you that I needed to give a warning or say just before I
think
play
you just
this,
have to, before you listen to any music from awful
good.
People.
The song is good.
I also
that's
think
what
there's,
I needed there, to do
there's,
that.
I think there's, I think there's a time element where, look, there's a lot of people that have done bad things. And
sure.
After 15 years, maybe their music, you know, people don't, it's not top of mind. There's an individual that just got put in federal custody yesterday.
With 1,000 pounds of lube in his possession, okay? There's some concerning
maybe.
Stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Technically, yes. The music is on a rotator. Yes, this one did get played, and I should have given the warning ahead of time. The beat is, it's a good beat. That's it.
Also, text line, I disagree. From the 816, Cody, you couldn't do a backflip in a pool if your life depended on it. I can still do a backflip in the pool. I did one this year.
What are you out here just doing backflips in the pool for?
That's fun!
Into the pool?
What?
Into the pool. Like off the edge.
Okay.
Do kids ask you to do that, or you just do it for fun?
My kids like it. So normally with the kids, I do it like off of a boat. You know, like off the side of a boat, I might do a backflip or a front flip or something.
But we will be in Las Vegas.
Backflip's easier than front flip.
And maybe, by the way, we might have just found out why Drew got blocked on Twitter based off of the music he chose to bump back. I don't know. We'll get to that story in just a few minutes. But let's talk about the NFL for a little bit here. Because 3 weeks now, we're heading into week 3, 2 weeks into the season, chasing history, the Chiefs are for a three-peat. And I'm curious, once again, 913-586-7965, if you are... more or less confident that they're three-peating based on what you've seen? And like maybe your answer is just the same, but when you see what's happened, not just in the AFC, but the entire NFL, the teams that are undefeated, with the exception of you know the Chiefs and Buffalo, Houston is in that conversation. You don't take the Saints seriously. I know people don't. Not from a Super Bowl contender.
Yet. Let's talk later.
And the teams that we do take seriously, based off of prior history, Cincinnati and Baltimore are 0-2. Philadelphia is 1-1. The Niners have injuries all over the place. They're 1-1. They just the Vikings are 2-0. Do we really think Sam Darnold's going to the Super Bowl? No. So my point is, like, 2 weeks in, the Chiefs have some injuries. They're gonna have to overcome those. But man, they're still in as good of a spot, if not, I would argue, better than everybody else in the league.
I think it's really hard to, like, under normal circumstances, I actually don't think that that'd be an impossible question. Say, are you less confident that they're going to three-peat after they lost their number two wide receiver and their number one running back? And their number one running back was one of the five most important players on this team last year, almost, because of how badly they needed offense from a variety of areas. So, like, I actually don't think it's nuts to say you would feel less confident. And yet here I am telling you I feel just as confident, maybe more, because the rest of the AFC didn't catch up to them while they started making mistakes. They could have lost either of the games. They didn't. They won both. As a result of that, one of the two teams who I thought was a real competitor for them in the AFC won't even make the playoffs. Both Cincinnati and the Ravens are not both making the playoffs. The history of the sport would tell you both might not. And a majority of the time, both wouldn't make the postseason. So one of them's not gonna. So I can at least start there. Buffalo's been good. They've beaten two, I'd say, quality opponents. Arizona's a quality opponent. Miami's a quality opponent when Tua was starting. So, like, you know, not bad. Not as good as beating the Ravens and the Bengals. But the rest of the AFC has not, like, threatened their dominance or pointed out that they can't win. And honestly, they're a few more games away from starting 3 or 4-0, and then they're going to have the entire AFC looking behind them. Because if they do start this thing 4-0 and take down the Chargers, who also have a chance to be maybe 3-0 by that time, although no Herbert's Justin Herbert hurt. Yeah. Again. No Herbert at practice today, according to Daniel Popper, who covers them for The Athletic. He is questionable, I think, for Sunday based on an ankle injury he sustained in the game against the Panthers. Although he did sustain that injury and then play the rest of the game, so I kind of feel like maybe just being precautious. But still, no one in the AFC has come to threaten them, even with their injuries. I'm just as confident as I was when the season started.
A lot of people saying I need to see more, and that's fair. That's why we're asking the question after 2 weeks. But of course, right? That's what I'm asking.
Has your confidence been shaken?
Yeah, what we see in week 8 is going to be much different than what we see right now for some teams. I think we recognize that. Someone did say they're less confident, though, based on what they've seen from other teams and the fact they only beat Cincy by, quote, dope hair Joey B by 1 point. Look, the other teams, I would ask you, honestly, like, what other team have you seen that scares you now? Maybe Buffalo's reemerged for you. Truly, like, because on the NFC side, one, it's the NFC, but you really are fearful of Derek Carr or Sam Darnold. So it can't be those performances. On the AFC side, is it just that Josh Allen's looked and the Bills have looked better than you thought? Because honestly, what other team outside of Kansas City do you realistically view as a threat that has now hurt your confidence? I mean, what team would it be?
I mean, I feel the same way about the Bills I did before the year, so I don't. They seem fine. Miami's worse because Tua is now out for the next month. They're going to be starting Skylar Thompson. None. In the AFC, none. There's some teams in the NFC who are playing better football than I was maybe anticipating. What the hell do I care about them? About their chance to three-peat? Because they only stand in the Chiefs' way if they've made it all the way back to the Super Bowl. And in that hypothetical, well, I certainly am not worried about their ability to three-peat, because they just made it through the entire AFC field. So unless you're somehow buying the Jets' 1-1 record, in which they've looked mediocre, I would say at best, the most dangerous thing about them is, I think Breece Hall and Braylon Allen might be one of the most fun 1-2 punches at running back. And again, if I'm talking about your running backs being the thing that scares me, well, then I'm not that scared of you as a Chiefs fan, just truthfully. If I talk about your defense being the thing, that's never stood in the way of the Chiefs' ability to get a lot of wins over the course of it. I think it's going to be a little harder because of the injuries, But by the time that thing plays out, and because I don't know the length of the injuries for Hollywood or Pacheco yet, I can't even rule out the possibility that they get to add to this team before the postseason again. So my confidence, not rattled, not shaken. I'm about where I am anyway.
So it says, who do you have taking the AFC North now, Steelers or Browns? We discussed this yesterday a little bit. I think the Ravens realistically could go 0-4 to start this season. Their schedule is brutal. They get Dallas this week, could drop them to 0-3. That's a toss-up game, admittedly. But their schedule is really tough. They're the team I have suddenly not making the playoffs. The Steelers might get to 3-0 this week.
It depends. They could beat the Chargers even without Herbert. If it's no Herbert, then I'd expect him to win.
If Cincy doesn't slip up the next 2 weeks when they play Washington and Carolina,
you're going to say Cincy?
Then I think Cincinnati would be my answer.
Washington or Carolina, talk about a no excuses to slip up situation. Because then, yeah, Bengals fans can feel okay about themselves. They'll be 2-2 and in the thick of it. And yeah, I don't think the Steelers are winning more than.
Because here's the thing, even if you think Baltimore goes down to Dallas and wins, and it's absolutely they can win that game. I think it's right kind of a coin flip game.
Literally, by the odds, it is. Baltimore is -1.
Okay, so it's a pick 'em. Then they have the Bills. Then they have the Bengals. Like, so it is, those are all games they can win. Those are all games they can lose, though. And so, truly. So they could be sitting at 0-5, or we could be talking about them stabilizing things and getting the 3-2. Something tells me the Ravens are not beating the Cowboys and the Bills and the Bengals based on what we've seen so far.
No, I'm with you. I mean, again, the rest of the AFC, like someone said, who do I have winning the North? I mean, I don't know. Like, if you made me guess today, I might choose Cincinnati too. But I might. I'm agreeing, maybe. But I might just take the Steelers because their history. The Steelers' history first. The Steelers are actually, I can't be sure that Cincinnati's elite at anything. I can be sure that the Pittsburgh is elite in one thing. They might have the league's best damn defense, and they do have the league's best damn defensive player. TJ Watt will single-handedly win them some football games this year, even if they're starting Justin damn Fields at quarterback. I don't know if Cincinnati's elite at anything. But, you know, like, till that's proven otherwise, if you made me, and it was even money, and I don't know, what are the odds, I guess? That's the funny part. Are the Bengals still favored to win the division?
Well, they're the team to beat.
We are the team to beat in the AFC.
So they are the team to beat. Thinking of Drew and his guy.
If they win 2 in a row, you never know.
That suddenly they're the team to beat again. That's right.
How are you going to feel if they lose to one of these two games? These are joke games. These are joke schedule games. You got to bury your team if they lose one of the next two.
If they lose one of the next two, the conversation around Zach Taylor is, his seat is as scorching hot as it can be without him actually getting fired, essentially.
That's probably fair.
Is that conversation?
That's probably fair. Thinking of that again, Friday, 10:30, we have some listeners that own a hair salon in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, studio. They're going to cut your hair, and they are going to bleach it and everything, just like Joe Burrow. That was part of the bet, so that is happening if you guys didn't hear that yesterday.
I'm gonna bring the Joe Burrow jersey, too.
You should.
We'll give him a shout-out on social media as well.
You should You should definitely do that, as the folks from Downtown Hair Lounge will be in studio. But you got blocked by somebody on Twitter yesterday. Normally, I wouldn't bring this up, like, whatever.
Well, I don't know how long I've been blocked by them, actually.
But Bill Barnwell, who's a well-known ESPN reporter, right? He's still with ESPN.
You know?
And he was putting out some numbers to back up that the numbers some Cincy fans have put out about, Mahomes actually has gotten away with more picks than anybody in the league. And
they have more penalties called against
penalties and all that. And he went and did some research and found out that that's just not accurate. And he was putting it's like eight different tweets, like a thread of tweets he sent out.
And then it turns out the person who benefited the most from overturned interceptions in the NFL was Joe Burrow.
So then you,
of all quarterbacks,
how did this happen? Someone tagged you. You were looking at the tweet.
Our buddy
Joe
Summers.
And you said, hey, I can't see the tweet. I'm blocked.
I was going to say our guy Joe.
So did you try to defend Joe Burrow to Bill Barnwell? How did you get blocked? What did you do to Bill Barnwell to get blocked? Well, the only media members that we have an issue with, we have banned a few from our show, but I don't think we've blocked any from Twitter.
Well, first David and Carr. Foremost, I don't know how long I've been blocked because I kid you not. I knew his name. I recognized the name, but in the moment that I realized I was blocked because I can't see the profile or anything, I couldn't tell you who Bill Barnwell was last night at the mention of from
what,
Joe
what
Summers.
What do you think
I
you said
know.
To him? Do you think in college? In college, did you get a little too loose? Fire off some critical tweets about someone's opinion on Cincinnati or something.
I was a lot more reckless, I think, when I was in college about the Bengals, and this is before Joe Burrow.
People are going to start looking up old tweets. That's dangerous, Drew.
Because, because like Rob Britton, right? I think he's blocked by like Darren Revell because he used to add him every 5 seconds, he said, when he was a college student, right? And give him a hard time for being kind of a loser or something.
Really?
Maybe you did that with Bill Barnwell and you just don't remember. Maybe you had some beef with him.
Well, Gold looked it up. I have never tagged him in a post.
But maybe you quote tweeted him.
I don't think I've quote tweeted him in my life. I don't know, but I do know from Googling Bill Barnwell, he loves Tom Brady, and I know that there was one tweet that I sent out a month ago or so. I was like, look, if you like, Patrick Mahomes is clearly when the whole GOAT conversation was already there was a graphic that was put out, who's the best already or through their first 5-6 seasons. I was like, it's clearly Mahomes is better than Tom Brady in his first 5 seasons. It's not even close.
What do you think? He's just Googling that sentence to block you?
For all I know, if he likes Tom Brady as much as it seemed like he does when I Googled him, maybe he just found that graphic and just went through a laundry list of people. I don't know. I did not say anything.
I don't know.
I did not try to back Joe Burrow at all based on his comments and his research.
Someone find the tweet, please. I got to find out.
I want to know what something happened. He didn't just randomly find you and block you. So something had to have happened.
I have never.
Maybe you said something on the air because I don't recall.
I didn't call him out either. I didn't call him out.
You know, but I think you did and you just don't remember. Because every once in a while, look, I'm blocked by some people too. Look, I don't have a leg to stand on. Bill Snyder has me blocked, even though I don't think I did anything wrong. I'm not sure he blocks anyone on Twitter, but he has me blocked. I'm blocked by Ryan O'Hearn. I'm blocked by some people. I'm blocked by the entire Carr family. Like, I get it. Like,
what did I do to block Bill?
Are you trolling out there a lot these days?
A lot. Ryan O'Hearn, I was speaking critically of his play at the time that he was at the
Royals. Kyle Van Noy might block me. I don't know after my comments.
I have no burner account. I have not, to my knowledge, mentioned him in a single tweet. I don't think I've quote tweeted anything that he said. I don't have any recollection of me engaging in a Bill Barnwell tweet in my lifetime.
Sounds like Kyle Van Noy blocked a couple of people yesterday after they
based on some text. Yeah.
Someone said Hunter Dozier blocked them. Mm. Look, I mean it every once in a while. And look, those are the only ones I know.
Just hit the mute button.
I'm still convinced.
Hit the mute button instead.
Should I try to follow Bill and see what happens?
You can't. I mean, you're blocked. You can't follow people. Well,
the follow button is right there.
Maybe it unblocks you.
We'll see if it lets you.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, it won't.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Do you think Bill Snyder still has me blocked, or did he figure it out?
What did I do to Bill Barnwell? If I did anything, I apologize.
I'm just curious. I'm pretty loose. It takes me a lot to actually block somebody.
With all the texts we're getting right now, people naming famous people that block. What are you guys doing on Twitter and social media that's getting you blocked? What are you guys doing? Someone says Buster Olney, Whitlock, Bomani Jones, Marlins, man, all have me blocked.
That's quite the collection.
What are you guys doing out there that is getting you blocked by so many people? I'm sure there's people that have me blocked, but I don't like... I'm just honestly curious what is prompting you to get blocked by people. Are you just trolling?
Some people, yes. Me, no. I have not intentionally mocked somebody over social media before on purpose.
I don't remember if I have either. I kind of wish you could see a list of everybody who has.
By the way, you can follow Drew on Twitter at Drew B, Nix, at Alex Gold, at Cody B.
You can also block him on those same
and you handles. Can hit block. That's, yeah, that's true.
Someone says
Drew sounds like he knows why he's blocked. Until it's brought to surface, he remains innocent. Totally guilty, Drew.
Still blocked by Snyder, man.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. That's how I know you're trolling. For you to get blocked by a legendary Hall of Fame head coach.
Here's what happened.
I mean, you must have sent a disgusting tweet.
I made fun of a college kicker. Not his kicker, mind you. Not a K-State kicker. Just a college kicker, like Auburn's or something. He retweeted it. And then I think what happened was he didn't know how to unretweet something, so he just blocked me instead. That's what I honestly think happened. I think old man got confused by social media, and he couldn't handle it.
Story.
This is also not why I'm not a believer in Felix and Udike Uzama, just because Bill Snyder had me blocked.
I think that's what it is. You're just a known Wildcat hater. You got blocked by the greatest coach in their school's history, one of the greatest coaches of all time.
I'm going to ask a request of you guys. If you guys are not blocked by Bill Barnwell, would you mind asking why he has me blocked for whatever reason?
He doesn't remember.
Why don't you try to get him on the show at some point this season?
I can't. I have no
try time. To get on the show, and we'll ask him. And he's going to say, I don't even know who the hell you are. I don't know why I blocked you.
Thank you.
And then you'll get unblocked.
I genuinely have absolutely no idea how that would have happened, when it happened, because you were not able to look up when you were blocked by somebody, correct?
I don't think so.
Everyone asked Bill Barnwell on Twitter why Drew is blocked. See if we can get him unblocked, you know?
I don't think I did. And
how old is it? By the way, I'm just looking at your Twitter now. How old is this profile photo of yours?
I would say
it looks like you're leaning up against a car. This looks like, it looks like you might've been 18 years old in the photo.
I think I was probably 19. Okay. I'm trying to find the original photo itself, actually, of when it was taken.
Hashtag who day.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. It was July 6th, 2019. 5 years ago.
How did you determine this?
I went back in my photo. It's still in my photos. I told you before the show, I said 2019, I think, is when it was. Scrolled up to 2019. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. I was the first year out of college. For me.
All right.
Okay. Those are the only people.
I mean, Cody's photo, it looks like he's 7, you know, so.
I am like 7.
I know.
Maybe, actually, you know what? I was like 5 in that photo.
I was a mature 5.
That photo is my photo from kindergarten.
Were you driving around cars at that
age? I'm like 5 years. Look, I've got a full, my photo's impressive because why is it that I have a full ass sideburn? I got a sideburn at 5 years old. It's an interesting hairstyle by me.
I don't know.
We'll never know why Drew got blocked. We'll have to just let that one.
No, we're going to ask Bill Barnwell. Everyone go ask Bill Barnwell.
People can continue to text in to Drew. Follow him on Twitter. Check out that profile if you haven't already. At Drew B. Nix.
Go look at this picture.
They're giving you a hard time
ago.
Now. You're welcome. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And we had Ross Tucker earlier today on the show, our Odyssey NFL insider. We asked him about Kingsley Suamataia, what he saw from his performance. And we'll get his perspective on the rest of the NFL next.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, we heard from Andy Reid a little bit earlier on today. He did confirm that Isaiah Pacheco is having surgery today, and he did not put a timetable. He was pretty vague on that overall. We know there's some reporting out there suggesting 6 to 8 weeks, but with that, they did elevate a few players from the practice squad, including running back Keyonte Ingram, who they've liked, who has been part of the organization for, I guess, over a year now in some form or fashion. Kareem Hunt officially signed to the practice squad. Also, tight end Peyton Hendershot shot back on the practice squad after being waived a few days ago. So that's where their roster sits. I guess also Christensen, the linebacker, was added to the roster heading into Sunday's game.
After they made those moves, they only had 50 players on their active 53-man roster, which is a bit odd for a team, certainly this time of year. So I'm going to guess they're going to try to leave some flexibility, I would say, on their stuff moving forward, which makes a lot of sense. And then hopefully after these surgeries, we'll get a better idea of timeline. I've been pretty tempted to ask Vinny how the thumb's coming, but I don't think it's, I can't imagine it's progressed. About 5 days ago, he was quoted telling MLB.com that he's been playing video games. So he's using both hands now, which is pretty good. It's like, should you be playing video games? It's actually exactly that.
It's rehab.
I'm not even kidding.
Get the thumbs moving,
man. They want
man.
You moving the thumbs. So I guess if you're trying to, like, maybe hit Vinny up on NCAA football or something. He's playing some sort of video game. I don't know what it is. But next time we talk to him, I'll at least ask which ones he's been playing. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals dropped Game 2 against the Tigers last night in extra innings. Unfortunately, they were unable to come through with the game late. They just kept walking Bobby Wood Jr. Cole Reagans went 7 innings, allowed just 1 run on 4 hits, but not enough. Tonight, it'll be Alec Marsh on the mound up against AL winner, probably Cy Young Award winner Tarek Skubal. By the time this season is done, it'll be him versus Alec Marsh. First pitch 6:40. Vern's on Deck show starting at 6 o'clock right here. 5:30 right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
Next on What's Trending, some media news, but he's a big enough name. We all know the Woj bombs that come out throughout really the entire year around the NBA. Well, Adrian Wojnarowski announced he is leaving ESPN and retiring to a different gig with St. Bonaventure, where he'll be like the general manager of basketball in charge of NIL and things like that. I think it sounds like
it's like a retirement gig. It's like being a starter at the golf course.
Yeah, it's his alma mater, but also, you know, he was making $20 million a year at ESPN, so he's making great money. But 24/7, 365 days out of the year, and you might be saying, hey, for $20 million, I'll do that. Sure. But and he did it for, you know, 10 years, 15 years or whatever. I think he just finally got burned out. He's also not like 45 years old. I think he's in his early 60s or late 50s, something like that.
He was sick and tired of waking up at 2 in the morning saying Isaac Okoro is getting a 3-year, $45 million.
55 years old.
He's 55. And look, if you were making 15, 20 million the last couple of years, I think you can handle the slight pay cut to also have a life.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a really surprising move, too. Like, they were not, I'm sure, was not expecting it at all.
It said that Shams is one of the
him and Chris Haynes.
People.
Not Chris a surprise, Haynes yeah.
Is one of the possible replacements for that. Do you just, like, hand your phone over in, like, a ceremony? You just give them your
already,
exact context?
You don't have those to, guys already, those guys already have relationships. It's just whether or not those sources then now want to communicate more with Shams and build up those relationships.
Versus telling Woj first. Next up on What's Trending, the ACC is maybe set to revive revenue distribution talks with Florida State and Clemson in hopes to, I'd say, keep them from getting pissed off on them further. I will warn the ACC of something, though. At one point, the Big 12 gave Texas and Oklahoma whatever they wanted financially in order to keep the conference together. It might save you for a while, ACC, but it won't save you forever. Giving Clemson and Florida State a bigger share of the pie because they are the bigger properties in your conference in football will work for a little while, but it won't stave off elimination forever. So if I were the ACC, I'd tread lightly on those conversations. Now, of course, if Florida State and Clemson left, you'd have no conference anyway, which you could make the argument of the Big 12. If Texas and Oklahoma had left at the time, the Big 12 gave them everything, would the Big 12 even exist?
Probably not.
It probably kept them alive for a little while.
Yeah.
You know? Probably kept them from dying at the time, and now they get to continue to survive.
It would be interesting to see what the ACC would do if they try to go the route of the Pac-12 and scoop up Tulane or, you know, any of those other schools that are lower tier, but they could still kind of find a way to keep the conference
Memphis alive. Will be in the Pac-12 before we know it, you know?
Lastly, on What's Trending, no Justin Herbert at practice today. Seen for the Chargers, suffered an ankle injury in the game against the Panthers.
There you go.
Chiefs play the Chargers next week, so that's why is of note.
Out in L.A., which will be still 70% Chiefs fans, even if the Chargers are 3-0.
So far, we haven't seen anything from that super fan either from this season.
Her. I had to think for a second. The Chargers Super Bowl.
I figured she would have at least been like on the big screen. You know, she would have become relevant again.
Plant. She was a plant.
That theory actually maybe is a little more realistic now, and the fact that she hasn't at least shown up, because she would have been she would have had her picture.
But see, this is the issue I have with the last 20 seconds of this conversation. Here's the issue I have. On one hand, you have Cody saying plant, which is fine. Then you had Drew saying she hasn't been there. Do you see why I have an issue with this? If they showed her, you guys would be all upset. They haven't shown her, and you assume she's just not there. Maybe she's there. She's on her team, and she's not a plant. She's a real fan.
I think she was a plant last year, and now she's not there because she's not a real fan.
That might be true.
I try to believe the best in people, and I thought she was a real fan.
This is why I'm shocked you're blocked by anybody. You're the nicest person on this show by a mile, and I don't understand. Anybody get an answer from Bill Barnwell?
Somebody
did
tag him.
Did they?
Did tag him, yeah.
Maybe he'll just not say anything and just magically unblock you, and then you're free, and you guys should interact all the time.
Then
he'll block you again.
Block me instead. This is like me laying my jersey down for Rudy. It's fine, Bill Barnwell. I like your content. I think I'll just read your stuff on ESPN. You can block me. Unblock Drew. He doesn't deserve it.
I thought you were about to call like Mike Gundy. Like, block me.
I can handle it, Bill.
I can handle it.
I know what it's like to be blocked. That tweet that Bill Snyder retweeted is still there.
Block me. Earlier today, we were joined by our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. He joins us each and every week throughout the football season, courtesy of Hellman's Mayonnaise. Hellman's Real Mayonnaise, Mayo, game day be delicious. And we started our conversation asking Ross, as a former NFL player, how does he look at this Tua situation? Does he believe Tua should keep playing?
Yeah, it's such a good point because, you know, I have such a different perspective now that I'm 45 and have a couple of kids and have realized that life can be really rewarding and really fruitful after football. You know, that's a lot easier to say now than it is when you're in your 20s and it's been your identity your entire life. Now, my situation was different than Tua's. I was 28. It was my seventh year, and I hurt my neck against the Ravens. I herniated my C5, C6, bruised a spinal cord. And I said to the doctor, you know, what do you think? And he said, I think you're 28, and you went to Princeton. You should get a real job.
Which, by the way, shout out to Dr. Schuller. I still haven't gotten a real job.
No, just this fake one.
Yeah, but in all sincerity, it was such a weird situation because on the one hand, it was like I felt relief because, guys, I would have kept playing until no team wanted me or until a doctor said I shouldn't play anymore. So in the same instant, I felt a small sense of relief that it was almost like, okay, this is one of the ways I could retire, is if a doctor told me it was time. But then at the exact same moment, a total loss of identity. You know how there's always guys that are like, you know, football is what I do, but it's not who I am. And like, they go out of their way to tell you all their other interests. So, I mean, I had other interests. I did internships when I was in the NFL and stuff, but I liked that my identity was being a football player. I always wanted to be a football player. My first memory was going to a Penn State game when I was 5 years old, and I said to my parents, this is what I'm going to do. And so it's kind of crazy to just snap your fingers, and that's over. It's over. You know, for 20 years, people look at you as a football player. They say, there's Ross Tucker, the football player, whatever, and then it's just over. And so I think that's a tough perspective for someone like Tua, who ostensibly will have a choice to make here. But I would also say, you know, he's achieved lifetime financial security now, right? So I think you have to take a really long look at why he would still be playing. So because the game ends, I think the further removed you get from it, you realize that the game ends for everybody at some point. Most people, it's when they're 18. You know, a little bit more, a less group, it's like when they're 22, and then a lot of us in our 20s, some people in their 30s, and then like a couple guys in their 40s. So if you operate with the parameter that it's going to end at some point, and then you realize you've achieved financial security, then you have to really ask yourself, why would he still be playing? Like, would he still be playing for the love of the game? I mean, that sounds good, but you don't want to put that ahead of the love of your wife and two children like Tua has. Would you be playing to win a championship? I would love to have a long conversation with him and just hear the way he's thinking about it or what he's looking at. I can tell you, 45-year-old, like my brain, I would definitely not play again if I were him. I'd like to think that if I were 26 and in his shoes, I would not play anymore. I would think better of it, but I don't know that for sure.
When you look at the rest of the league, some of this is because quarterbacks like Tua aren't available. But I've been reading all about it, Ross, trying to figure out what's been going on with the league-wide offensive problem. So somebody suggested it's just the cover two defenses, and I've seen someone suggest it's a step further than that. It's the way these offenses set aside their plan to attack him this year and why that plan is just straight up not working. What do you attribute it to? No one's scoring touchdowns. Everyone's bad in the red zone. Offense is down across the board. Why do you think it is?
I think it's, as always, a number of factors. Number one, I would say there's a general trend year after year of less time in the preseason, less practice, with an emphasis on putting a premium on as healthy as possible for the opener. And that's fine, but that does come at a cost, I think, a little bit of precision and efficiency. In general, early in seasons, defenses are going to be ahead of offenses, and I think that's especially pronounced with the less work that these offenses are getting. You know, what I tell people all the time is, on defense, you can have a couple guys screw up, but if Derek Thomas gets a sack or Chris Jones gets sacked, like, nobody even notices. On offense, if any one guy screws up, and you guys saw this a bunch against Cincinnati, if any one guy screws up, that play is not going to work. And so I think especially early, you know, given the lack of continuity, chemistry, practice time, all those things, you're going to have more offenses where one guy messes up, there's a penalty, or he gets beat, or whatever, doesn't run the right route, and so the offensive play is ineffective as a result. I would also say, and I first started to hear this like 3 or 4 years ago, all of the data, all of the analytics now suggests that by far the two biggest determining factor in the outcome of games, one is turnovers. We all kind of already knew that. The other one is explosive plays. So these defensive coordinators, they are obsessed with limiting explosive plays. One reason, by the way, why a lot of teams are running it pretty effectively. You know, it used to be, you got to stop the run. You got to stop the run. Now it's like, hey, you know what? Why do you have to stop the run? I mean, it's nice to stop the run, but what you really have to do is you have to stop points and you have to stop explosive plays. And so teams are doing a pretty darn good job of that.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Our Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. So the Chiefs are 2-0. We all acknowledge they have not played their best football. They continue to find ways to win. Patrick Mahomes wasn't sharp in the win. And coming out of that game, the biggest story, honestly, other than the injury to Pacheco, is what they're doing at left tackle. We asked you last week about Kingsley, and now I'm curious to get your perspective on his performance that got him pulled from the game in favor of Wanya Morris. And as of right now, Andy Reid has not committed to who's going to be left tackle on Sunday night.
Well, there's a bunch there. I mean, one of which is just body language. It felt like Kingsley was losing his confidence during the game. It's a really bad spot for an offensive lineman to be in. Really bad, and it's understandable. He's a young player. He's a rookie. First real taste of the NFL, and he's going against a guy in Trey Hendrickson who's very, very good. Now, I was a little bit disappointed and thought the Chiefs could have done more, especially early in the game, to help Kingsley, to help him settle in, to help him build some confidence, because I do think he has the talent and athletic ability to be able to do it. But now you have to wonder where he's at mentally and whether or not they're better off going with Wanya Morris. And, you know, I mean, if you can get a left tackle like Wanya that scores a touchdown, you know, every week, that is really helpful.
Well, but if he's starting, then he can't catch touchdowns, you know. Ross, you're taking that away from him.
No, I thought he looked okay when he got out there. I would imagine, we'll see. They don't want to ruin Kingsley mentally, but I think you could ruin Kingsley mentally either way, right? You bench him, that's tough, he doesn't start. But if you throw him right back out there and he struggles again, then that's not good either. So they're in a unique situation there. The thing I would tell you is you can scheme offensively to protect someone or protect a position. Now, you're going to lose some other things as a result, right? Like if you slide to the left tackle every time, well then, you know, Juwan Taylor and Trey Smith are going to be one-on-one, and the defense is going to know it, and that puts more stress on them. Or if you're going to have, you know, Kelsey or Samaje Perine chip, well, that helps, but then you're going to have a guy late getting out to his route. So there's a give and take with everything. I just think I would start that with securing the block for the left tackle before you worry about anything else.
When you look at the – so I don't disagree, but I guess the one other thing I want to ask about Kingsley is Mitchell Schwartz, former offensive tackle here, Andy, and even Kingsley himself seemed to think it was more of a technique problem than a skill issue, talking about the way he uses his arms in order to defend those guys. Is that an easy fix, in your opinion, in the middle of the season? Can you change technique things that would make you better in that area?
You can definitely get better with your technique, but it's not like an overnight success. It's not as easy as people think. And you could watch any play and you could say, you know, if that guy had better technique, he wouldn't have gotten beat. I mean, what separates a lot of guys in the NFL, like Mitchell, for example, is his technique was, like, impeccable. You know, I mean, Kingsley's a better physical specimen, height, weight, speed, all those things, athleticism, than Mitchell was. But Mitchell was a technician. You know, so it's easy to say, oh, if he just gets his technique better. I mean, Yeah, if I got my technique better, I would have been a better player, and I worked on it every day, seemingly all day, but I still never got it where I wanted it to be. You know, I still never got it to the level where I could have been the type of player that I wanted to be. So I think on some level, yes, you can improve technique, and yes, some of it was technique. I didn't like his set, but he was turning his shoulders too early. But that's also what happens when you get beat, and I don't know that he's going to be able to fix it that quickly.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, he joins us every Wednesday throughout the NFL season. We appreciate it, man. We'll be checking in next week.
Yeah, sounds great. Great talk with you guys.
So that was Ross Tucker a little bit earlier on today on 96.5 The Fan. And look, that last answer there and the last few comments, you know, acknowledging, like, hey, he can improve, but also there are some limitations of what he can do. And we still don't know who is starting at left tackle on Sunday. And I kind of want him to start also because I want to see if
he can fix
any of this. Same. Otherwise, because, it's going to be a looming question all year.
Well, then I'm going to start thinking it's a redshirt year. And that's the exact thing they were trying to avoid at left tackle.
We're back at it tomorrow here on Cody and Gold. On a Thursday edition of the show, we'll have Paul Charchi and getting a set for fantasy football. We'll have former Chiefs wide receiver Danon Hughes on the program. And hopefully we're talking about the Royals snapping this losing streak. We'll talk to you guys then.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.